Amen. I thank the Lord for faithful men, no doubt about it.
Take your Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 4, please. The book of John chapter number 4. I want to remind you about our John Sevier Chapel that takes place on Sunday afternoon at 4:30. And I encourage you with that. I understand we've got maybe one or two or maybe a handful here from that chapel today. God bless you for coming. We're glad you're here. I hope you'll be much in prayer for it and ask the Lord to be with us. I'm preaching primarily today to fathers. Let me remind you that any time the Bible is open, even if it's directly aimed at a particular person like a father, don't tune me out if you're not a father, because these same principles apply to all of people who are saved today and even those who are not saved. The Word of God applies to all of us is what I'm trying to say. It may not be directly interpreted to us, but it applies to all of us. So I encourage you, if you're a father, I'm speaking to you directly, but I'm speaking generally and applying these same truths to the whole crowd. John chapter 4, verse number 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. The Bible says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I preach to you today on this subject, a father of faith. A father of faith. And I'm going to apply this to all of us directly to daddies today. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for this Father's Day that's been set aside to honor our fathers. I honor my dad. I thank you for him. Thank you for his faithfulness to you, and especially reading the Word of God like he does. And I pray that you'll help us now today to be faithful to you. May you take this message and use it in a great way. May the will of God be done in our midst. And help us all by faith to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And Lord, I pray for thy will to be done in our midst here this morning. May somebody be saved, somebody's life be changed. Help us, we pray. We need you. Forgive my sins. Please help me to be a clean vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1960, the total number of children living in fatherless families was fewer than 8 million. In 1997, nearly 4 out of 10 children in America are being raised in homes without their fathers. And God only knows what that number is today. It's been said that almost 75% of American children living in fatherless households will experience poverty before the age of 11, compared to only 20% of those raised by two parents. Children living in homes where fathers are absent are far more likely to be expelled from or drop out of school, develop emotional or behavioral problems, commit suicide, and fall victim to child abuse or neglect. Now, that's not a blanket statement, you understand. It's just on average. The males are also far more likely to become violent criminals. As a matter of fact, men who grew up without dads, 1997, this has been many years ago, men who grew up without dads currently in 1997 represented 70% of the prison population serving long-term sentences. Think about it. Now, I say all this to say that's a problem. There's no doubt about that. But can I say something to you this morning? There's a greater disaster taking place in our homes. There's a bigger disaster than a dad not living there. The bigger disaster is a dad who is or is not living there is living in such a way to give a clear message to their children that God's not important in life. You know, I wonder, are your children growing up without a dad who teaches them the importance of God Almighty? Are you, sir, a father of faith in your home? Now I want to look into our text, and again, I'm applying this to fathers, but the main outline, these five or six things I'm going to give you, this applies to all of us, whether we're fathers or whether we are not. What I want to do is I want to go back in context and see what's taking place and look at the daddy in this text, and I want to bring out something about this father. Now, if you'll notice with me in verse number 47, he identifies his problem. He goes to the Lord and he says, "My son is sick. He's getting ready to die." The Lord then tells him in verse 48, "Except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe." Notice his burden in verse 49. "Sir, come down ere my child die." Can't you hear the burdened heart of this dear man? Now, with this in mind, with his son being sick at the point of death, I want to bring out several things today that summarized this father. And I want you to put yourself under the spiritual microscope and say, "He did that, am I? He did that, am I? He did that, am I?" Here we go, number one. Several things about this father of faith. Number one, here it is. He went to Jesus. We see this in verse number 47. Notice the language. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea in the Galilee, he went unto him. You know, one of the greatest things a dad can do is go to Jesus in times of trouble. You know what that word "went" means? It means he went off at once. In other words, as soon as he heard that Jesus was in town, he didn't wait. He didn't pray about it. He didn't seek counsel. He immediately picked up and he went after Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a man. May not be much of one, but I am one. I be one, if you will. And I understand how men think. You know, men try to be the answer to every situation and circumstance in life. We don't ask directions. All these other kind of things. I do when my wife's in the car because I don't want to hear it. You understand? Fathers, now get this. Don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. Fathers sometimes think it's a sign of weakness to ask help. You know I'm telling you the truth. But a father of faith realizes something. He can't do it on his own. A father of faith understands a biblical principle. I cannot handle that on my own. I cannot do that on my own. Can I say this to you? May I say this to you? The Christian life is a life of dependence. We as human beings think we can handle anything. And then if it gets over our head, then we'll go to Jesus. That's not the Christian life. Jesus said in John 15, he said, "Without me, you can do nothing. The very air you breathe is in the hand of Almighty God." And I'm telling you that this man, he understood something. This was out of his control. He could not answer this. He went to Jesus. And I'm telling you, everybody can learn something here without any hesitation. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jeremiah 33, 3, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The bottom line is we need fathers of faith, and in general, just apply it to your life. We need ladies of faith. We need single people of faith. But apply it wherever you are. We need people today who go to Jesus, and they seek his help in time of trouble. Second thing about this man, not only he went to Jesus, but number two, he begged the Lord. He begged the Lord. Look at verse number 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him. That word besought means to beg, to entreat, to pray, to desire, to ask, to request, that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 49, the nobleman said, "Sir, come down ere my child die." This man not only went to Jesus, folks, but he laid his desire before the Lord, and he literally begged Jesus for his help. There's two things I want to bring out about his beseeching the Lord. First of all, under this, he did it fervently. He wasn't half-hearted about it. He did not go to Jesus and say, "My boy's sick. I know you got other things to do, and I'm not really worth it, and I forget it." That's not what he did. He went to the Lord, and he was not going to leave until he poured his heart out to Jesus Christ. He did it fervently. The Bible says in Psalm 62:8, "Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him." God is a refuge for us, Selah. Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and find help in time of need." James 5:16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." This man asked God for his help, and he went and begged God to touch his son. He did it only fervently, but secondly, he did it faithfully. You know, one of the interesting things about the word besought in verse 47, it carries the idea that he kept it up. In the original language, you know, I don't refer to the original language a lot, but when it brings out something that helps you understand something better, I'll do that. And in the original language, this word, "he besought him," it carries the idea that he's begging him. He won't stop. He won't quit. He keeps on coming. He keeps on laying it out. He keeps on begging him. He refuses to not give his request to Jesus. God give us men with prayer lives like that. God give us fathers who will hold on to God until the answer comes. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Luke 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." We need fathers of faith who go to Jesus fervently and go to Jesus faithfully. There was a little girl who asked her daddy one day, and she said this. She said, "Daddy, is God dead?" He said, "No, why do you ask?" She said, "Because I never hear you talking to him anymore." Don't let that happen in your home. Number one, he went to Jesus. Number two, he begged Jesus fervently and faithfully. I wonder, Dad, you're listening? I wonder, Christian, just apply it to wherever you are. Anytime I say dad, if you're not a dad, apply it to wherever you're at. How much time did you spend with Jesus last week? How much time did you spend with him compared to the ball field? How much time did you spend with him compared to the television set? How much time did you spend with him compared to other things? Does that mean the ball field's wrong? No, it's not wrong if it's kept in perspective. Does that mean the television's wrong? Well, there's debate about that. Depends on what you watch on it. Amen. But in itself, it's not necessarily wrong if it's used right. But it's a sad day when our time gets consumed with things and we do not spend time with the Lord. One reason our homes are in shambles is because our people, our marriages, by the way, everything I'm preaching to you applies to me. I hope you know that by now. I'm not exempt from any of this. The greatest thing I can do for my family is walk with God. Amen. That's the greatest thing I can do. And the greatest thing you can do is walk with God. Are you going to Jesus? And are you begging him fervently and faithfully? Number three, the third thing we notice about this man who shows us that he's a father of faith, he went to Jesus, he begged the Lord. Number three, he believed his word. We see this in verse number 50. Look at it. Well, the Bible says this, "Then said Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth." Notice the next statement. "And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him." You know, this man wanted Jesus to come with him. You can see it. He said, "Come down ere my child die. Come with me. Touch my boy. I want you to come." Jesus decided not to answer his direct prayer. He did not go with this man. But he always knows best, remember? He simply gave him his word. He said, go your way. He said, basically what he's saying, no, I'm not coming with you. But you go. Your son's living. And the Bible says this man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. You know, there's a great lesson here. This man could have questioned the Lord. After all, he didn't ask him to send him home with a word. He asked him to come home with him. But instead, the Bible says, instead of him questioning, the Bible simply says the man believed him. The man believed the word that God spoke to him. You know what we need? We need fathers of faith who simply go to the Word of God to see what the Lord is saying, and whatever He says, believe it. It's the truth. God, help us to take Him at His Word. John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy Word. Excuse me, through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The Word of God is true whether we believe it or not, folks. It really is. You know, there's some people today, maybe who's never been here before. Just to give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. This is burgundy carpet. This is so simple it's ridiculous, I know that. But I'm just going to show you something here. We can go to somebody who's never been here before, they've never seen this place, and we can say, that church has burgundy carpet. They can look at me and say, no, it doesn't. I don't believe that. I don't care what you say, you can twist my arm, it's not burgundy, because last time I was there, it was green. You're lying to me. You listening to me? A person's individual belief does not change fact. Did you hear what I just said? Just because somebody doesn't believe it, that doesn't mean it's not true. The world today mocks this book. The world today laughs at this book. The world today will scoff at this book and make fun of this book and make fun of me for giving my life to preaching this book. I've got news for them. Their belief does not change the facts of the Word of God. God's Word is true. And if you want to do what's right, believe whatever God has told you in His Word. Do what God wants you to do. Listen to His Word. I've learned that everything true about God is true about His Word. What is one of those things? Titus 1:2, God who cannot lie. And since this is His book, it's not going to lie either. We need fathers who believe God's Word. I illustrate this by saying this. I think it's going to rain outside. What do you think? But I illustrate it by saying this right here. When our church has heard me say this. I'm talking about, you know, because just every now and then I'll bring this illustration up. But it just applies talking about believing the Word of God so well, I keep using it. When our boy Judson, he's 8 years old now, and he told my dad yesterday. We were down there and so on, and he looked at my dad and he said, I'm already up to my daddy's neck. That's what he said. I take it from my children, I take it from preacher, I take it from everybody around this place, you know? Yeah, sure. By the way, I don't hold bitterness, but I don't like you all very much. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding with you. Anyway, when he was a lot younger than he is today, in other words, he don't need me to jump off the bed now, you understand? But he was probably Jalen's age. I can't remember how old he was, but he was probably around Jalen, probably 2 or 3, something like that. We were in our bedroom, and our bed, I know you're going to laugh, but it's fairly high off the ground, okay? My wife got me a little trampoline to help me get in and out of it, but anyway, all these kind of things. I might as well just rip on myself, you know? Sure. Yeah. Anyway, he was standing on the edge of the bed, so just pretend like this is the foot of the bed here, and I'm standing down there on the floor, and he's right at the edge of the bed right here like this. I knew he wanted to jump. I knew he did. So instead of holding my arms out like this to him, I kept my arms down to the side like this. I'm standing down here at the foot, you know. And I said, jump, son, daddy will catch you. All he had was my word. That's all he had to go on. Are you following me? Are you with me? I wasn't doing this. Come on. I wasn't doing that. I simply said, I kept my arms down. I'm testing him, okay? And I kept my arms down the side. I'm like, jump, son, daddy will catch you. Now, some of you have seen me do this, but when I did that, he started rocking back and forth like this. He wanted to jump so bad he could taste it. But he wasn't sure, is Daddy going to drop me? Does he mean what he said? You can just imagine what a 2 or 3 year old's thinking. You know what I'm saying? And he was rocking back and forth. And before I knew it, he jumped, and here he came. Now, what did I do? I dropped it. No, I'm kidding with you. But if I could do this just a moment, taking you back in time, he has just jumped, okay? Let's freeze the picture. He's in midair. Do you see him? You see him? He's about my size. You see him, right? He's in midair. Do you see him? What do you think it did to his daddy when he jumped? What was this boy in midair right now telling his daddy without saying a word? I trust you. I believe your word. Can I say something to you? If you would have run in between me, I'd have knocked your head off to catch him. I would have. I say that in Christian love, but I would have knocked your head off. Let me tell you why. Because I hope he learned a great lesson that day. That when his daddy tells him, I'll catch you, when he trusts my word and he believes my word, daddy's going to keep his word. Do you understand what I just said? Jesus is testing this man. This man said, come, please, come with me. I've got to have you with me. Jesus said, go your way. Your son's going to live. This man believed the word of God. We need to believe it too, don't we? The fourth thing about this man, he went to the Lord, he besought the Lord, he believed his word. Number four, he obeyed the word of God. We see this in verse number 50. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus spoken, and he went his way. Who told him to go his way? Jesus did. The Lord, God, God's only begotten son in human flesh. So we see not only believed it, he acted upon it. He obeyed the word of God. You know, it's one thing to believe the Bible. It's another thing to obey it. It really is. By the way, if you really do believe it, you will obey it. Because your beliefs affect your behavior. There's no doubt about that. You show me how you're living your life, I show you if you believe that book or not. Amen. Your behavior shows what your beliefs are. No doubt about it. And what we need are fathers of faith who will not only believe what God says, but will take it a step further and they will obey what he gives them to do. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I wonder, is there any area of the word of God you are not obeying? Now, we're all sinners. I'm not asking, are you perfect? No, nobody's perfect. But is there any area in this book that you know God has told you to do that and you're not doing it? Or you know God's told you not to do that and you are doing that? Are you obeying the word of God? There's a fifth thing about this man. 5 and 6, and we'll be done here. But number 5, he went to Jesus, he begged the Lord, he believed his word, he obeyed his word. Number 5, he trusted Christ as his Savior. We see this in verse number 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed. This father became a true child of God. Let me simply say here that you can never be a father of faith until, first of all, you are a father in faith. You, listen, do you know for sure? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? If you do not know for sure that heaven is your home, there's no way that you can be a father or an individual of faith. It's impossible. You have to be in it before you can be of it. You could be a father, now listen to me, who leaves a great estate. You could be leaving lots of money. But if you're not a child of God, you are leaving your children spiritually bankrupt when you leave. Your child needs to have a saved mom and daddy. They need to know for sure that heaven is their home. There was a startling bit of research that was conducted by a Christian businessmen's committee. This has been several years ago now, but they found the following, and I'm giving it to you here. When the father is an active believer, a child of God, active. In other words, there are believers who aren't active, if you understand what I'm saying. They're not faithful. But a believer, a child of God who's faithful, who's trying to live right, when the father is an active believer, there's about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. Now again, that's not a blanket statement. In other words, it's not like, you know, if for some reason I'm speaking to somebody that the father's not in the home, you're a single mother, you're trying to raise your kids, doing everything you can, that doesn't mean, well, it's over. No, because it doesn't have to be true about your life. You understand what I'm saying? This is just in general, they found among those that they did their research with that when the man, the father, is in the home and he's an active believer, 75% of the children turn out being active believers. But when the daddy's absent and it's just the mother, 15%. I don't understand that, but all I'm saying is this, I wouldn't try to take a chance on it. Amen. I'm telling you, the fifth thing about this man, he trusted Christ. He became a believer. Then there's a sixth thing about him. You have to read between the lines to get this sixth one. I say that gingerly because typically you don't read between the lines in the Word of God. So I'm not teaching you, you need to read between the lines when you're reading. I'm not saying that. But there's a logical thing here. Look at verse number 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Now, here's my sixth point. He shared his faith with his family. He shared his faith with his family. Because I'll tell you something. The family didn't go with him. He went alone, if you will. And when he came back, he was putting it under the test. Wait a minute. My son's living. He's doing fine. When did that happen? Well, it was yesterday about such and such hour. Then he knew. That's when Jesus said, that's when he gave me his word. So he trusted Christ. But it didn't stop there. He said his whole house did. How'd they hear about Jesus? How'd they hear about him? It's not a trick question. There's only one logical explanation. The daddy told them about him. Hi, listen, he told me yesterday that this is going to take place, and it took place. This has got to be the Messiah. I've trusted him. Will you trust him? You know one of the greatest things a dad can do? Share his faith with his family and make sure that everybody under his roof hears the Word of God and hears the gospel as it is. Again, there are so many fathers concerned about social status, concerned about financial security. In and of itself, those things aren't wrong. I'm not blasting those things. Don't misunderstand me. But we don't, listen, our children, it doesn't matter what kind of social status they have if they don't know Jesus as their Savior. It doesn't matter how much money we have in the bank account so when we die that they get a large estate. It doesn't matter if they don't know the Lord as their Savior. And I'm telling you today that God is going to hold the daddies responsible of making sure that their children hear the Word of God. It's the way it is. We need families to share their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not doing a great job, but we're training. And we'll ask Jalen. We'll be out at night. The stars are out. And we'll say, Jalen, who made the stars? God. Stars. Who made the moon hanging up there, Jalen? God made the moon. She just turned 3. God made the moon. Now, we're training her. We're training her. We're teaching her things, all these kind of things. And she's learning. Can I say something to you? Your children are constantly being trained by you and by everybody else that they get around and by the world's philosophy. They're constantly getting training. And if you as the parent do not train them in the gospel, you don't tell them that God is real and salvation is real and the cross is real and Jesus died for you and heaven is real and we want to see you in heaven with us and we want to live together for all. If you don't teach them that, the world will teach them that it's all a bunch of poppycock and will teach them that it's a bunch of lies. That's the world. You know what this daddy did? I can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. I see him gathering his children, gathering his family, and said, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Just met him yesterday. He gave me his word. He kept his word. This has got to be God. I've trusted him as my Savior. How about you? How about you? How about you? And before you know it, his whole household has trusted Christ as their Savior. And they're with the Lord as I speak right now. What a daddy. What a father. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Isaiah 38:19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. That's what the word of God says. Be a father of faith who shows his faith with his family and with others. She was blonde, she was beautiful with a tumble of tawny curls. At 3 years of age, she would climb into her daddy's lap, snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile and purr, "This is my safe place." And so it was. Dads, husbands, listen. Whether you realize it or not, you are the safe place in your home. And I wonder, listen, it says right here, a very human dad and husband who simply cares about God and us. We don't need a lecture. We need a safe place. We need a protector, a provider. We don't need a spiritual giant. We just need you. And I wonder, how are you and the Lord getting along? Are you the safe place that God wants you to be? I give you a few poems and I'm coming down for a landing. Now, I didn't tell you how long it'd take me to get down, you understand, but I'm coming down for a landing here. Their little eyes upon you and they're watching night and day. Their little ears that quickly take in every word you say. Their little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day, he'll be just like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. A teardrop crept into my eye as I knelt on bended knee next to a gold-haired tiny lad whose age was just past 3. He prayed with such simplicity, "Please make me big and strong. Just like Daddy, don't you see, watch o'er me all night long. Jesus, make me tall and brave like my daddy next to me." This simple prayer he prayed tonight filled my heart with humility. As I heard his voice so wee and small offer his prayer to God, I thought these little footsteps someday my path may trod. Oh, Lord, as I turn my eyes above and guidance ask from thee, keep my walk ever so straight for the little feet that follow me. Buoy me when I stumble and lift me when I fail. Guard this tiny bit of boy as he travels down life's trail. Make me what he thinks I am, and is my humble, gracious plea. Help me ever be the man this small lad sees in me. 2 Kings 17:41. As did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Proverbs 17:6. The glory of children are their fathers. And I ask you this question as I'm closing. That doesn't mean you are, please. Are you like this man who went to Jesus, begged him, believed him, obeyed him, trusted him, and shared his faith with his family? God's given us a great example, hasn't he? And may the Lord help us here. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. I pray for this invitation as we're embarking upon it. There's no doubt that this is serious, serious business. We need you today. I need you. Please help these dear folks who've listened so well today to understand the message. It is not about me. It is not about them. It's not about this church. It's about you and you alone. Guide us now, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. First thing is first. The fifth thing I brought out about this man was that he trusted Christ. But the first thing I'm going to bring out in the invitation is, have you trusted him? Are you a believer? Are you going to heaven when you die? Do you know the Lord? I mean, I'm not asking, have you been baptized? Are you living a good life? Are you trying the best you can? I'm not asking any of those things. I'm asking, have you received Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Are you saved? How many of you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that's settled. I'm not perfect, but I know I'm going to heaven. No doubt in my mind. Not anything I've done. I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. It's all what he has done for me. Thank God I'm a Christian. How many of you can say that with a surety? Raise your hand in the air with mine, please. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. There may be one today say, Jody, I can't say that. Can I say, first of all, thank you for being honest? And all we who could raise our hand, there was a day in our life when we could not raise ours either. But now we can by the grace of God, and we'd like to introduce him to you. Is there one today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. I really, really wouldn't. If you're here today and you say, Jody, pray for me, I do not have that assurance in my life that I'm a child of God, but I want it. I don't have it, but I want it. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody at all like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question today. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but God is speaking to me. Let me speak to the fathers first. Would you let me do that? If you're a father, I hope you'll listen. You're saying that you've trusted Christ. Okay, great. Are you sharing your faith with your family? Are you leading the way in your home? Are you going to Jesus on a regular basis and laying out your petitions fervently and faithfully? Are you believing his word and enacting upon it and obeying his word? What is it that the Lord is speaking to you about? Have you say, Jody, I'm a daddy, I'm a father. God is speaking to me. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, God is speaking to me. Yes, thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Just a moment, I'll have you respond. Have you say, Jody, I'm not a father, I'm not a dad, but God is dealing with me. I need to go to Jesus more often. I need to act upon something he's already told me, or maybe something in his word that he's told you to do and you've not done it, and you say, Jody, I need to do this. God helping me, I want to do that. Whatever it is, may the Lord help you to respond. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way. May thy precious will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Mike is beginning to sing. As soon as he says the first word, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? As he sings, come now. Come on.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dawn.
Is the Lord speaking to you? God help you.
Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever
Elizabeth
we
got assurance
hear
of her salvation. That gold. playing through softly. We're just about done. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. Folks are praying. People are being dealt with. And I realize that people don't have to come forward to do business with the Lord, but I trust if God's speaking to you, that you'll deal with the Lord today. It's a great privilege when God speaks. By the way, and I've said this before too, I'm just giving people time to pray, and we're dealing with some folks, but while we're doing that, I want to deal with you. Every time the Word of God is opened, God is wanting to speak to you. He really is. He's wanting to speak to me. So if you go weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and you never hear from the Lord, I'm not talking about an audible voice, you understand that. I'm talking about just speaking to your heart and convicting you and showing you things, boy, you need to do this, or yes, keep going there. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. Stay with it. Whether he's encouraging you or convicting you, whatever it is, he's trying to speak to us. There's no doubt in a crowd this size, I may be speaking to somebody who says, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't know if God's ever spoken to me. Can I say something to you? I would get home and I would fall on my face and I would beg God, speak to me. Speak to me. And then when he speaks, act upon it. Act upon it. I've had people come out whenever they're leaving church and they'll say, well, you stepped all over my feet today. You stomped all over me today. Should have worn my steel-toed shoes. Can I say something? The same thing happens to me. It's not me, it's the Word of God doing its work in our heart. And when he convicts, he's doing it because he loves us. When he challenges us, he's doing it because he loves us. When he's encouraging us, he's doing it because he's trying to keep us going. God's not out to hurt us, he's out to help us. And he uses his Word to do it. And this is what this church is about. It's about this blessed book right here. We're going to preach the Bible to you. We're going to give it to you. Amen. This is Elizabeth Snodgrass. If you wouldn't mind to stand, Elizabeth, your parents can stand there with you. The Lord's really working in this family. Miss Rachel just trusted the Lord recently and came forward. And this week, I got a call from Elizabeth. And she told me the Lord's been dealing with her for over a year, correct? Over a year. And she has gotten assurance of her salvation this week. Isn't that great? You happy for her? Say a big amen. I would encourage you, just as your pastor, just think about it, pray about it. But both of you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, okay? Now, you got assurance, but since it's assurance, you never know. You might have just gotten saved. You see what I'm saying? So you don't want to take a chance. And we follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's just like a wedding ring. This ring does not make me married. It just shows the world I'm not ashamed to tell people I'm married. You see what I'm saying? That's baptism. We're happy for you. And I feel sorry for you for who your parents are, though. You know, just, I'm kidding with you. You know that. God bless you. Wonderful. I'm sure many of you ladies would like to come by and hug her neck. Not you men now, but you ladies. Come by and hug her neck and all these kind of things. Let her know you'll be praying for her. That'll be a good thing. I hope you'll be back tonight. Remember the John Sevier Chapel, 4:30. Just pray about it. The funeral this afternoon, service tonight at 6:30, pre-service prayer meeting at 6. A lot of things going on, okay? Very good. Brother Steve Mullins, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us, please.